Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Gamil Sari is an Italian DJ and producer making waves in the dance music scene. He has performed at some of Italy's top clubs, captivating audiences with his unique blend of beats and sounds. Gamil's music style is a diverse fusion of genres, which he infuses with his signature style, creating an electrifying and unforgettable experience for his listeners. His music has been released on labels such as Spinning Records, Musical Freedom, and Sony, and has gained recognition from industry professionals. Gamil achieved a milestone in his career when his track Money's Gone was played on BBC Radio 1's Future Dance Anthems, propelling him further into the international spotlight. Gamil's unwavering commitment, exceptional talent, and unique sound have established him as a rising star in the dance music scene, and one to watch for the future. This year has seen the rising talent collaborate with one of dance music's most esteemed vocalists, Inna, for their feel-good house anthem, Party Songs, which has already eclipsed 1 million streams on Spotify alone. He has produced and released multiple tracks this year, including Early in the Morning and Us, as well as performing to crowds across the globe, recently sharing the stage with industry giant DJ Snake. He has also lent his skills to soundtrack events for esteemed fashion house Yves Saint Laurent with new single Glitterball. Things are just getting started for Gamil as he rises through the ranks in the music industry. Up next on Slepsmart, we've got Gamil Sari. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Hi, thank you for your time. now I'm busy in Milan, in the north of Italy, and it's getting warmer, which is cool. You can kind of start smelling the spring air in a way.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age did you say cool, whether being a child or teenager? Did you think, I want to be in this entertainment, music world, creation world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I think when I started DJing, it was when I was 16, and it was super random. It was a New Year's Eve with 20 friends in the mountains or in near the Alps. An older friend of mine brought a super weird DJ set. Was like a 2-channel mixers and a DVD player from one side and his iPod on the other side. It was just mixing and something like that. But I was amazed by the old stuff. That's a DJ. that was a DJ is doing. And tutorial after tutorial, I truly think that YouTube, for example, I still watch a lot of tutorial to improve both DJ and producing side, but it's from that moment with that random setup that I was like, oh yeah, I feel like I want to try to be a DJ, but I never dreamt about concrete stuff until I reached that thing. I of course dreamt and visualized that thing, but it's been almost 2 years that I'm doing finally music 100% without no day jobs and stuff like that.
Yes. What were your day jobs before you landed into full time music?
So I got a degree in interior design.
Yep.
Because I love interior, good interiors. Mm. But then I found out at the end of the after the degree that it wasn't my passion. You know, it was more of a B plan, just to make my parents happy in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh yeah, I got something, like a piece of paper, just in case, you know. But yeah, I did some stages as a designer, but I found out it was very underrated as a job, because the pay was just a few hundred euros for 40 hours a week. Working as a, you wasn't projecting or planning or creating anything. You were just drawing somewhere else, someone else plans, so that there wasn't creative anymore.
Yep.
So I moved to something like a sales assistant that I loved, actually. I contract after contract tried to work less, like less hours to save some more time to do music. But yeah, I feel like that was cool, because the fact that you are always in contact with people and talking with people, you actually have to sell stuff. It's I found that useful in a way, just even for my stuff right now, just to be useful to talk with people and trying to understand them.
So do you ever go into one of the places that you're DJing, a club, well, I suppose it's more of a club, and look at the design and think, oh, they've done this wrong?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, usually like toilets are the worst. When I'm like, who, like, are you serious? Is this a toilet or where is the thing? But yeah, I really love interiors. You just never know. Maybe one day I'd love to design clubs, for example, or music studios, like with very fancy and Milanese design.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens.
Okay, so now when you're DJing, let's dive in. So you've been doing this now full time for 2 years. When you first started, obviously you were DJing and creating, or rather your set included mixes of more songs that were already released, or did you start with doing originals then as well, or did original music only come into play later on?
I started with, I think that every DJ starts with original music, or God bless SoundCloud, because still on SoundCloud you find a lot of amazing remixes or mashups or edits. So that's the best way still for a DJ to express himself without being, I would say, I wouldn't say average, but less predictable. Because you can find out a good remix from an unknown producer with trendy plays on SoundCloud, and maybe it's a banger, it's only unknown, and you have the new thing to play at the club. Because I started as a DJ and later joined the production thing.
Yes.
So that was like this process of including my productions or my remixes came after, because of I wasn't able to produce at the very beginning. But yeah, I think that the best thing to do is whatever you feel more comfortable with, to be honest.
Was it your creative brain that said you, cool, okay, I've got these remixes on SoundCloud, but now I want to produce and create my own stuff, that was the inspiration and motivation behind you diving into the production world?
Yeah, I totally remember this remix from Chami, which is a big French DJ. I'm a huge fan. After years, I know we met each other and we exchanged messages and stuff. That's crazy, but that's another thing. But yeah, that's because of him. I discovered some remixes of him on SoundCloud, and it was the golden era of Future House. So that I was totally amazed by the genre itself. It was something different. And that's the thing that light up in me the question, like, oh, that's cool, but how can I create something as cool as that? And okay. then go on YouTube and tutorial how to do this and to do that. And
so YouTube's your go-to place for yeah. education.
And for everything. If I don't know, a light, like a spotlight of my car is broken, I go on YouTube and I find out how to fix it.
If I'm learning something new, I need to be able to ask the person in real time a question in to understand, okay, this is my question for me to process. That's just my brain works. But obviously, all our brains work differently.
Yeah.
Now, how long does it take you to prepare a set for your show? Obviously, for each, you play smaller gigs, bigger gigs, greater gigs. But obviously, the energy you put in is the same. How long does it, that preparation time?
I usually don't prepare that much.
Okay.
Because I've been DJing as a resident DJ since almost 10 years.
Okay.
8 years, something like that. And I feel like the background as a resident DJ, it's a really useful point to have as a guest too when you're actually having a gig as a guest, because that's during those years where you really learn how to DJ, I would say, because you can read the floor and how the audience is reacting to what you're playing, and you just build that that taste also to know which song play. Like in which moment. So usually I'm backed up, let's say, but I feel like the same day of the gig, I just go on Spotify and I look through the playlist to see the freshest banger. I also check the promo email to check if any unknown. I'm a big fan also of pushing the younger producers or like less known producers to the big stages.
You mentioned reading the floor and reading the energy. Now, for you personally, was that always something that was natural to you? Or was that something you needed to learn over time?
Of course, I feel like you need to learn at the beginning. I had this mentor as a resident DJ. It's a big friend of mine. He's 4 years older than me. He actually introduced me at the clubs as a support of his set. And I mean, I'm also a super curious guy. Apart from music, I always ask questions and look on internet and YouTube. for yes. stuff like what's the process behind, yeah. or, you know, also the TV program, yeah. how it's made, where you see the I'm a huge fan of that, for example. But yeah, I feel like you need somebody with more experience that actually can answer to your questions and can guide you. Even when you're doing great, but it's of course more important when you're missing out something that goes, that comes to you and goes like, you are like going too fast. You're burning down the tracks, take more time for each song, or even the opposite. Like you played three drops of the same song. You cannot do that. You can't do that. It's all about the balance. And yes. once you learn and you have, I would say, no more feedbacks from your mentor, you're actually ready and able to read the floor.
But I think that goes with anything in life, balance. Everything in life, work-life yeah. balance, balance in the music, balance in oneself. I think that comes back to everything that a lot of people are here to learn, which is thank you for the reminder to me, from you to me, because I needed to hear that today. But sometimes my brain isn't balanced and it goes cuckoos and drives me mad.
Yeah. So,
with overthinking it's and really hard. Yeah. And stuff.
I would say, yeah, overthinking, it's something, some days it's really hard to beat, but balance is key.
When you've created great tracks with Inna and a whole bunch of different artists. So when you creating those tracks, is it collaborative from the beginning, or do you create something and then reach out to that person? How do those journeys of those elements come to play?
It's different from time to time, because, for example, for the Inna song, I got this idea from my label about the I got the demo from the session, but it wasn't a song of mine. It wasn't something that I wrote, but my label team was like, "Yoga Gamo, this could be something interesting for you. Maybe can you check it if you wanna make some work on it?" And I checked it and I did my version, like production wise, from the vocal, and then we found out that it could have some potential, and they later reached out Inna. I mean, it's from the same label as mine.
Okay.
Which, so I think it was easier to reach out them, her. That's, for example, how party songs came through. For example, Us, another single of mine, was a song from a session that I did in London with two writers. And the final demo was very nice, but we thought that the vocal, like the final vocal, should be done by a brighter voice, for example.
Yes.
And so together with the label team, we reached out to a singer that was more pop and more in line with the song. And we checked also the results from the demo session and the second version. And we picked the best for our opinion. And it was the second one because it was more pop. And that came out like that. There is no proper rule okay. to do, but yeah, I'm a big fan of both, because I don't want to close myself and my vision of creating, being the guy that, oh yeah, I want to do it myself 100%. I don't want to hear works from other guys. I mean, at the end, it's not important. It's the final goal is to try to create a masterpiece. Doesn't matter how is the process. It's if it's sounding good, that's it.
The inspiration behind your latest release, Glitterball.
Yeah, that was a fun one, because I did this Zoom session with Reigns and D Adams. They are a sick duo, a writing duo. And we came up with this idea of doing something with the speech vocal, almost rap speech, kind of sexy vocal. Because I heard Atmosphere or Take It Off from Fisher. That was like the reference vocal-wise. And I did the production and the instrument. I sent them the instrumental through Zoom. And they worked on the vocals, and then we were doing like back and forth on Zoom, so checking on updates and about the instrumental and the vocal. And that was pretty fast. It was like a 2-3 hour session, and the track was pretty much done.
What's next? What's next in the pipeline? Short term, long term?
Oh, so I got a lot of new music in the making. I feel blessed, to be honest, to have a label right now, because I cannot stress anymore about to find the label, because sometimes you need to edit your sound in order to fit to some labels.
Yes.
So now it's only about, I got a lot of new music coming in the making, and the fact it's all only about to pick the right time for the right single. So it's like, I can tell you what's going to be next, but there is a lot of stuff.
No, it's surprise, yes.
Yeah, of course.
For now, we're listening to
I'm so bad at surprise, though.
Let me just understand. So, Preach, you being part of a label, were you trying to align your sound to a specific way in order for yourself to be signed? But now, because you signed, you just have the freedom to know, okay, I can just do it in whatever way.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the past, I used to stress out a lot. I came to a point when I truly thought about quitting. Like, I should do something else, because all the feedbacks from the previous, like, labels, from, I don't know, DJs labels or EDM labels, they were like, okay, this is cool, but it's too experimental for us. And I was always kind of pissed off by this kind of feedbacks, because I'm not doing music to copy anyone.
Yes.
I'm not like a parrot that I repeat what other people are saying, you know. And I feel like the goal is trying to create, I mean, at least trying to create something that's it's not a being created yet. I mean, it's hard. We're in 2024. So I was truly stressed and tired of these feedbacks. Oh, yeah, this is cool, but since you're not copying this trend, we cannot sign this song, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I suppose in their mind, mm-hmm. in their world, I'm not justifying, but in their mind, in their world, okay, this is making loads of money, so let's just follow this train, then try something new. You know, why there's a saying, I can't remember the saying right now, but why create the wheel when it's already flowing? I'm making up my own sayings. But that, totally, I get what you're saying. But from the other point of view, it's like, well, like, let's create something new. Let's be something, you know, be the leader in the new trends. So
I also understand, of course, the label. I mean, at the end, it's a business thing.
Yeah.
So totally makes sense. It's the unknown thing always scarce. So it's understandable, to be honest.
So when you kept getting those no's, or the yes, but, or this is nice, but.
I would prefer a no, trust me, instead of yes, but.
So when you kept getting those buts, and the doors potentially kept sort of closing, how did you keep yourself motivated to say, okay, just keep going?
It was totally, I remember, yeah, this year, it was totally day to day, I would say. Some days I was like, I should try to do something else. Well, actually, I should start copying somebody, or I don't know what to do, or things like that. But the most of the days I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm gonna show you.
See you in
some time, like as a motivational thing. I tried to craft and edit the anger to craft it into motivation. But I feel like, yeah, this one is the most efficient one, and it came up as the most efficient one.
Okay, so I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 hours, 20 years, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand this, because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to play five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
I would say Feel So Close by Calvin Harris. And Carnival is from the latest Kanye West and Ty Dolla Sign album.
Okay.
It's something super fresh. Just discovered. I would say Goosebumps by Travis Scott, and Latch by Disclosure. And as the last one, I would say Like an Animal by Rufus Du Sol.
Cool, nice mix. A couple of those I need to add to mine. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
Just don't give up, even if people are saying yes, but, or no's. Just if that makes you happy, just go for it. And I would say, and also balance is key. just mind about your life balance. It's very important.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.